For me, this probably is the hardest message that I should prepare. If you look at the Bible, we know how God's people suffered, persecuted, rejected, and faced so many trials and testings in life. As we see in the scriptures, that those who will live godly will suffer persecution. The Lord Jesus Christ himself, when he was here on earth, did not live an easy life. He lived and he faced so much opposition among all his people. He was not accepted. He was fiercely opposed. He was scourged, beaten, crucified on the cross. I believe we cannot call it an easy life. And we today, we know. Let us not be hypocrite to say, oh, I am a Christian, I'm living a happy life, easy life, a life full of, you know, comfort, and you are not struggling, we are not struggling because, well, I am a Christian. Let us be honest that we are heavily burdened, we are struggling, we are facing so many difficulties in life. Can we call it easy? Is God's burden light? Is Jesus' burden yoke is easy? But if we will not consider also what the Lord Jesus Christ is saying here, are we saying that he is lying? Are we saying that Jesus Christ is telling us falsely and giving us an assurance that is not true? We know our Lord Jesus Christ is all truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life, he says. And therefore, whatever comes out of his mouth and what is written in here in his book is always true. And why is it that we are living in a life that is full of struggles and strivings, and yet Jesus says his yoke is easy? Is there a contradiction? Is there something in these scriptures that probably telling us different things, and on the other hand, another thing to live according to his word? Let us settle this afternoon this seemingly contradicting situation in our life, for Jesus says, if we are taking his yoke, it is easy and his burden is light, and why are we living such a life as we think is full of hardship, full of tumultuous situation in our life today? Matthew 11, 25 to 30 is a continuation of the previous passage and verses from 20 to 24. And why we say so? Because here in verse 25 it says, at that time Jesus answered and said. Now we cannot find any question in here. Why did Matthew write here, at that time Jesus answered? There was no question from verses 20 to 24. There was no question from verse 7 to 19. There was a question in verse 3 of this chapter, but it is far from the context of this phrase or this passage from verses 25 to 30. But we can see that Jesus Christ is actually continuing what he has begun to say in verses 20 to 24. Because Matthew, as in Hebrew, uses this word, he answered. And in the Hebraistic language, when they say he answered, actually he was just telling he continued on. He proceeded. He continued on to say and declared what he has started. This is also how they say and how they write in the Hebraistic language. That's why Matthew, sometimes there are some commentators who would say, well, this probably was written in Hebrew and then translated into Greek, because his style, the way he writes, is in a Hebraistic writing of format. But this is not. It was written in Greek, and what he was telling us that he continued on. So it is a continuation of his woes in verses 20 to 24, and he's telling to us that indeed Jesus Christ continues here to say he was wooing over these people who are unrepentant in verses 21 to 24. And then he continues to say and to tell us in verse 25 that he is praying actually. He says, I thank thee, Father, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. We can see here that after Jesus Christ was having or expressed his pity and woe over the people of Chorazin and Bethsaida and Capernaum, because they were not repentant over the mighty miracles and mighty works that the Lord Jesus Christ did. Now Jesus prayed and exclaimed and prayed this with the ears of the people around hearing. I thank thee, Father. I acknowledge, though my heart is pained over these people who are unrepentant, I know this is your plan. I know this is your ordained will. I know this is your decree, and I acknowledge that it is you who decided all these things, that this must be hid before those people who think they are wise and prudent, but you have revealed them unto babes. The people here in these cities pretended and expected that they are wiser and have the understanding. They are clever and they are smarter kind of people, that they don't want to accept what the Lord Jesus Christ offered to them. They think they have their own way of understanding life. They don't need Christ. They don't need anybody to help them. They don't need anybody to support them. And they thought that they can just do things according to their own strength, according to their own wisdom, according to their own ways. But this was God's decree. Jesus was pained. He was wooing over them to repent, and yet he acknowledged it is God's will and way for these people. And so this is the first point that we can see here. We think of God's yoke, or the yoke of the Lord Jesus Christ, is easy. Why? Because it is God's plan. It is ordained by God. It is God's perfect decree. The yoke that he will give to us is his own design. He perfected it, he planned it, he designed it, he ordained it, he prearranged all these things, and therefore it is easy, it is light, because the God who gives us all these things is the Lord of heaven and earth. He was the one who designed everything. And when everything was created, he said it is good. And it is perfectly coordinated. The systems of this world, of this earth, is perfectly coordinated. It's all planned perfectly. We know that there is night, there is day, there is rain, there is hot day. There is always that perfect cycle. We have all the provisions, all the systems are coordinated so that we have all the blessings from God. He is so wise to design all these things. The perfect distance of earth from the sun, the perfect rotation of the earth and revolving, and the presence of the moon and the stars, all these things, the presence of plants, even the natural disasters that we experience today, which is increasingly happening. We might be sometimes worried, but we know it is God designed. But before sin came, we know it was perfect. All these natural disasters today that comes, it all is decreed by God, because we have to understand we are under sin. We are under the curse of sin. And therefore, God has to show that all these things will come to us if we will not repent. Because there is a greater disaster that is ahead of us if we will not come to Christ. And God, mercy, in His mercy and in His grace, has showed us all these seemingly very frightening situation of hurricanes, of typhoons, earthquakes, flooding, all this He showed, because there is a greater disaster that is ahead for all people who will not repent. This is still according to God's plan. This is still according to His good purpose. This is still according to His wisdom. And we see that the yoke of Christ is easy and light because it is all designed by God the Father. Jesus Christ Himself said, "It is Your will, O Lord. It is You, Father in heaven, who hid these things. It is Your perfect plan that it must be hidden from the wise and prudent." Those who are worldly wise or depending on the worldly wisdom, prudent, intelligent, clever, smart in their own ways, they will not rely on You. They will not take that yoke from Me. They will not accept Me, and they will not come to Me. But thank Thee, Father, and I acknowledge of Your goodness and Thy mercy and Thy grace, for there are still people whom You considered as babes, infants, those who are totally incapable, those who are dependents, those who need somebody to help them to walk, to be guided so that they can stand and can live this life. We thank God that He gave us this humility in our lives to acknowledge that we cannot live and we cannot save our own. We are babes before Christ. We need Christ. We need God in order to be saved. We need God in order to live. We cannot sustain our own without God. And that's why we are here this afternoon, to worship Him, to thank Him, because He has given us hearts to acknowledge that we need somebody to help us. In many first world countries, churches are becoming empty, and they think that religion or belief and faith in God is just a crutch. Only those who are disabled need God. Those who are not able to do their own thing without their minds working according to the teachings and the giving of instructions from the great universities of this world, they are the people who comes to God because they are weak. But we thank the Lord that we are given by God's grace that understanding. And I pray we have that understanding. We do not come into this hall because we think we are capable. We do not come into this hall because we think we are strong. We do not come into this hall because we think we are able. We come into this hall because we want to thank and praise God because of all our frailties, all our weaknesses. God is giving us the strength and has been guiding us in all the ways of our life. If we come into this hall, into this worship hall, with pride in our hearts that we have done such things and we have done such projects and have succeeded, all these things because I have learned this and I have been in this experience before. That's why I was able to somehow manipulate and try to arrange things so that it became a successful project. We come here with boast in our hearts, proud. We are not worshiping God truly from our hearts. But when we come before this presence of God, acknowledging, "Lord, I could not have done all those things. In fact, I could not have been here today without you giving me the grace to live until this very day. This is true worship. And the people who comes into this hall acknowledging that without God they cannot do anything are the babes in Christ. Yes, we are babes in the eyes of men, but we are children of God. They may look down at us because we are people who are weaklings. We cannot do anything by our own ways and our own thinking and our own designs because we cannot help ourselves. We rely always on God. We pray. We cry to Him. But this is God's design. There are people who trust in themselves, thinking they are intelligent and wise, prudent and able. But those who are in Christ are those who are babes and those who trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ as their own strength. Verse 26 says, "Even so, Father," he continued to pray, "I acknowledge that you are the one who decided all these things. It is your preordained will, but this is also your favor, and this is according to your pleasure. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. You have decided this not because the people or the Christians or we here have something to receive from God because we are deserving. No, it is decided by God because it is according to His good pleasure. It is according to His own plan that He saw it as something good in His own eyes. It may not be good in the eyes of men, but in the eyes of God, it is pleasurable to Him. It is acceptable to Him. It is what is good and it is what is wise." And then he continues to pray, "All things are delivered unto me, O of my Father," he declared unto these people around him. All things, not some things, not few things, not the spiritual things, not the moral things, but all things, whether physical, it is all delivered and committed unto me of my Father. That's the reason why Jesus Christ describes himself as, "I have the authority. God has given me all the power and the authority. All things are delivered unto me of my Father. And no man knoweth the Son. No man here on earth understandeth and clearly see who God is, who Jesus Christ is. We may have the hint from the scriptures. We may know who he is according to his own revelation. We have discovered and we know the Lord Jesus Christ from the Bible. But he is more than what he is revealed here. He just gave these things to us so that we might believe that he is the Son of God. And that believing in his name, we might be saved." We cannot comprehend. We cannot fathom all the grace and the mercy and the love of God for us. It is so great that we cannot understand everything if God will reveal it to us. He has just given us the 66 books in the Bible for us to read and understand. And I pray we are trying and we are consistently praying God will reveal this to us so that when we learn and when we can understand what God wants us to understand, we will discover and we will know Him more and we will love Him more. "It is only the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son." We cannot fathom all of who God is. As what Spurgeon has described, we are like a gnat, a small insect, trying to imbibe or drink the water of the ocean. No, we cannot get it all. We cannot understand everything of who God is and all that He planned and all of His design. We cannot even understand our own selves and discover who we are. God is so great it yet God gave all this, delivered, committed it to his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we have this trust and confidence and reliance that when God foreordained and planned this yoke to be given to us, to be entrusted to us, for us to receive, it is perfectly planned. It is perfectly designed. It is perfectly provided for us. And in here in verse 28 comes the invitation. It is easy yoke because it is planned by the Father. It is an easy yoke because it is performed and offered to us by God the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He did not send any man, a prophet, or any great politician or leader to come to converse to us and convince that this is good and this is light and this is easy. God, the Son himself, came to offer it to us. And as he knew the Father and the Father knew him well, he is well informed and he knows very much what is this kind of yoke. And he is not just offering this yoke for us. One thing that is best is he is also taking this yoke himself. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come unto me. Probably you have seen in the website that picture of a yoke. Probably some of our young people here have not seen this kind of instrument which is used in farming. You grow up here in Singapore, you think of yoke. What is yoke? Egg yoke or what yoke? Now, this is a yoke that is put on the shoulder or the head of the animals. Come or entered or put into it. And there are two animals that are using this one yoke. It is used to as an instrument in order that this yoke will be connected to a cart or a plow or something to work or to carry. And this is always being used by two oxen, or can be in our countries is water buffalo, or it can be an ass, or it can be a donkey or a horse. But there are always two animals bringing or taking this yoke. It's not possible for one to just use it and there is no partner. It is difficult. It is not possible. There are always two. And when Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Here he is inviting. In this yoke, I am in that other side, and I invite you to come and enter into this other part of the yoke so that we can pull and we can do and we can co-labor together. And he is inviting those people who labor and are heavy laden. Who are these people who labor, who work hard, who struggle, who strive? I believe he was alluding to the people here in Chorazin and Bethsaida and Capernaum, where they were thinking that they can do by themselves in order to gain salvation, or they can trust on whatever works that they can do in order to gain entrance into heaven. There is no way, there is no possibility by which you can do it by yourself. Is only by taking my yoke. It's only by taking this yoke with me that we can do it. Because it is not you who will do it. I am actually doing it and I am bringing you in so that you can have together this work and produce something out of this fellowship, out of this working together. Those who are heavy laden, people who have this heart burdened, I believe this refers also to these people, but we can also understand as believers, as Christians, we, even though we are taking his yoke and we are with Christ, we know we have this heavy burden in our hearts. The worries, the sorrows, anxieties, fears of life, what will be ahead about my children, about my future, about my job, about my own company, about this kind of business, about my church, about these fellowship groups, about my friends, about my spouse who is not well, about my parents. We are all heavily burdened, heavily laden. There are always burdens that we are carrying. And Jesus is inviting us, even as believers, that we are in yoke with him, yoking together with him. He's inviting us that if truly we are taking his yoke, we must take his yoke. And after that, he says, learn of me. Coming before him does not only mean that, oh, I entered into that other hole of the yoke and so we can work together. This is an important aspect here that we have to understand and remember and put it in our hearts and minds this afternoon. When we take his yoke as Christians, as believers, to co-labor, and now we are in Christ, we have to understand that we have to learn of him. We have to learn of him. And to learn is to take the word of God to teach us of his will. To learn is to understand the ways of God. To learn is to understand the purposes of God. To learn is to understand the aims of God. To learn is to understand what are the things that God wants me to do. Because if you are yoking together with the Lord Jesus Christ and you don't know what he is doing and where he is going, you keep on hindering the work. You can just imagine two animals in that yoke. One animal is stronger and he is dictating where to go, and you always, he will always go this way or do that thing, but you who don't know what he is doing keep on just, you know, pulling on another way, or don't want to move, you just stop. Or when the other animal is resting, you want to move. There is incoordination. That's why there is struggle. There is always strife. There is always a kind of fighting within that yoke, because the other one is doing something and you who is in the other part of that yoke is also desiring for anything. And there is no fruit. There is no development. You do not go forward. You do not do something. There is no result because there is always that pulling. We know God will continue on with his work. We know that God's work will continue to produce and succeed because he is God who is sovereign. But we, on the other side, when we keep on desiring to other ways, when we keep on stopping, when we keep on doing other things, when we keep on focusing on other things, we are not part of that result because we are just burdens added, heavy, laden to God. We are supposed to be there to work with him, and yet we are hindering the work. We are preventing the work. We are stopping the work. We are ceasing the result of God's work in our church, in our family, even in our own lives, because we desire for other things. We do not learn of God. And to learn of him, to learn of Jesus Christ, is to learn of his word. And importantly here, he is telling us when we learn of him, we must learn who Jesus Christ is. What is his character? Who he is as God and as man. He says, I am meek and lowly in heart. He is God-man who is submissive to the will of his father. He is the son who always go and promote the purposes of his father. He had the right to choose his own course because he is God himself. He is God the Son. And that is what is happening in our families today. Children, they have their own will. They don't want to be told by parents. They don't want to do what their parents want them to do because they think they are wiser. When they reach secondary, well, during primary, they probably were obedient to their parents, but it starts already when they in the upper primaries. But when they reach secondary, oh, they have their own minds. They have their own wishes. They are their own wills. And I want to do it, Mom. I want to do this way, Dad. And so parents cannot do anything. And so instead of the Bible saying, children, obey your parents, now parents, obey your children. What do you want to eat? They are the one who will decide. Parents will just be there at the back like servants or maids following them. Jesus Christ, he says, I am meek and lowly in heart, submissive always to the will of the Father. You can just imagine a God who is full of glory in heaven, who came down here on earth and lived a life which is, if we compare to our life today, that was probably we can consider it a worse kind of life. He did not have any home. He says, foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man have nowhere to lay his head. You just try to compare how the Lord Jesus Christ lived during his day and today. Well, we don't want you to sell all your property and live an ascetic life and find caves in order to live like the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm just saying that that was his way of living because he was submissive to the will of the Father. Because the Father says you have to go and you have to suffer and you have to live the perfect life and you have to be rejected and you have to be crucified by the people whom you are going to save. And he was willing. The day before he was crucified, the nature of the man, nature of the Lord Jesus Christ, his human nature, felt that pain. He knows he's omniscient. He did not disregard or he did not take out or was not stripped of his God characters or godly nature. He knew he is omniscient, yet he is also man. Who will feel all the pains, and he saw the next day he will be crucified, beaten, scourged. Father, if you may take this cup away from me, but not my will, but thine will be done. He is a meek Savior, lowly in heart. And this is the character that we have to learn of him. That if we take the yoke of the Lord Jesus Christ with him, we must be meek and lowly in heart. We must not be proud. We must not think that we know better than him. We know and we are wiser than our God, who now when we are in yoke, we are dictating Jesus what to do. Jesus Christ, come here this way. Jesus Christ, do that. Jesus Christ, wear this way. Jesus Christ, give me this. And this is what is happening in charismatic and Pentecostal churches. I myself, I'm ashamed to accept that I have been like that before, praying as if dictating. You, God, do this. You, Lord. I mean,
He is God who is great, and he is the Lord of heaven and earth. We must humble ourselves to say, Lord, what do you want me to do now? Today, Lord, where do you want me to go? Oh, Lord, if you will go that way, Lord, it is difficult. It is so muddy. It is so full of thorns. It is quite fearful. But Lord, because you don't want me, you want me to go there, then I know you will be there. So I will go because you are there. He promised he will not forsake us. He will not leave us. And so when he says, we will go there, we will go. I will go with you. Anyway, you are there. And if we will carry this load, I know I will not be alone. You are with me. In fact, if we are pulling and we are doing and we are continuing to perform all these labors with this yoke, we know we are not doing anything. It is God who does these things all for us. You can just remember, you know, my son is, I always train him to help me with my work. It is only now that he is growing as a teenager that he doesn't want to come with me. But if I have something to do, like in the past, where I have to plant or I have to bring or to water this plant or to bring water to that place, he would be there trying to help me. And with a pail of water, I will carry that. And he wants to help also, to show that he is trying to contribute something. So just hold to the other side of the pail. You know, there's a bucket of water. And you know you're an adult and you are carrying everything. But this 3-year-old, 4-year-old boy trying also to put his strength as if he has contributed something like that. And you know that you are the one carrying the whole weight. But you also tried to show that, oh, because you appreciated much of what he is doing, you also tried to show that he really did something. So when you carry, you show your appreciation. Oh, thank you for carrying this water with me. But actually, he did not do anything. And that is also what we have here on earth when we are taking the yoke of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is doing everything for us. That's why it is easy. Yes, there is persecution. Yes, there is suffering. Yes, there is still heavy burden. Yes, there are still worries. Yes, there are still anxieties in life. But all these things is carried and is being handled by the Lord Jesus Christ himself, who is with us. We may look at the burden at the back. It's so heavy. But we know it is God pulling it. We will know and we will see how hard the soil and in front and how hard it is to pull the plow in order to cultivate this land. But you know the force is coming from the Lord Jesus Christ, who is with you in the yoke. You know it is fearful to travel during the night, but Jesus Christ is with you. You know it is difficult to solve these kind of problems. You have the wise God with you. You know it is so painful. You are promised with a glorified body when you will be with him. You know it is hard to accept this false accusation. God loves you. He is with you. He shows that he cares for you. We know that there is some fearful things around us. There are natural calamities, disasters that are threatening us. Jesus is assuring us a mansion in heaven. He is with us. He will not leave us. He is a faithful God. Do you think you can come into this hall this afternoon with your own strength? Do you think you arrived here safely without God's protection? Do you think you are still breathing today without God giving you that life? Do you think your work provides for you all the needs that you have, all the money that you want, without God giving you the wisdom and the strength and the opportunities that you can have this kind of business. God is there. The only problem is we don't learn of Him. We have some other plans. We have some other purposes. We have some other ambitions. We have some other dreams. We want to go the other way. Jesus Christ wants us to do and to go the other way. And we feel very hard. That's why we are frustrated. We are depressed. We are so troubled. We are distressed because it seems that the whole world is against us. No. God is against you because you are not learning of Him where He wants you to go. But if we are taking that yoke with the Lord Jesus Christ, it is easy. It is easy. His promise is true. He says here that you will find rest unto your souls. And the word rest here in verse 28 and in verse 29 is a word that gives us refreshing word. Or it is a refreshment to refresh us, to encourage us, to strengthen us, to mold us, to make us mature, to equip us, to refresh us of all the hardships, the troubles, the burdens in life. God is there to refresh us because He is with us. There is a poem, probably I just use this illustration. I think you know of this poem of Footprints on the Sand. Many, probably some of you have used this. There are some posters where this man, he says he has a dream. It's just a dream. And he says he was walking along the beach with the Lord. And he saw two footprints in the sand. But he was wondering. One day he noticed that there was only one footprint he could find on the sand. And he says, this was in the moment that I'm in the hardest and most difficult part of my life. And he was thinking, Lord, why did you leave me? I only saw or see these two footprints in the sand. I believe you have read this poem in some posters. He says, and God says, no, I did not leave you. During those hardest and most difficult part of your life, you saw only one set of footprints in the sand. It was because I carried you. It was because I carried you. Do you believe that Jesus Christ promised to never leave us nor forsake us is always true in our life? Do we really believe that Jesus Christ, that we believe as our Lord and as our Savior, is with us and He will never fail us because He's a faithful God? Is this our Jesus? Is this our Savior? I pray that the Jesus of the Scriptures, the Bible, is our Lord and our Savior, who says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. If you will just take my yoke and learn of me, so that whenever I say, okay, we'll go. We'll stop. We'll turn to the right, turn to the left. Yes, turn to the left. Every move, every decision is according to Him. And it's dependent on Him. That's why it is easy. It is light. One student used an illustration. This might not be a very fitting illustration, but it shows us how it is easy and how it is light when somebody is working or laboring with us in the same vessel or in the same instrument. And interestingly, she used this illustration of a bicycle. probably you have seen some of these bicycle in west. I think it's East Coast, where there are you can take, you can ride, and there's one who will drive, and there at the back there's also a seat where you can just ride on. And if you ride on at the back, the one who is in front actually is the one driving. He's the one determining where to go. He's the one pedaling. He's the one balancing. He's actually doing everything for you. And if you are at the back, you can just sit there, bring a newspaper and read, and probably you can just, relax yourself without doing anything, because the one in front is doing all the labor, all the direction, all the balancing. This is also the picture of one who is taking that same yoke with the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, it seems that you are laboring hard together with him, but actually he is doing all for you, for us. What we need to acknowledge is his presence. What we need to acknowledge is we have to follow his direction and his will. And if we are doing this, then there is always that movement, there is always that result, there is always that produce, there is always that work that will be an output out of this working together. You are just there, and you are following the Lord Jesus Christ as one who is meek and lowly in heart, submitting everything to the Lord Jesus Christ. But let me tell you also that this is not a kind of life like a robot. This is not what the Lord Jesus Christ wants us to do also. Because people think that, if you will have this kind of idea, you are just like a robot. You don't even think what you are going to do. You don't even plan, and you don't even design, and you don't even try to figure out. We have also our human responsibilities. That's always the argument of some people. And that's true. We are not robots when we are taking yoke with the Lord Jesus Christ, because he is giving us strength, and he is giving us wisdom, and he is giving us also the desire in our hearts what to do. He's not controlling us as if we are just dead people walking and laboring with him. In fact, when we are in Christ and taking his yoke with him, we are, of most people, the wise and most responsible, because we are now alive in him. We are not controlled and we are not in bondage. We are not robots because of the control of sin. We are now living according to the demands and commands of God. We are also people who have human responsibility to do what is right and to do what is God's will. Though he has given us a choice, we know that when we are given the permission or the allow or to be allowed to do all things according to our own, we are prone to commit sin. That is one who is in bondage of sin. But now that he has given us this heart and this mind and this life, living with him, we can now live a life most responsible, most wise, because we always decide according to the wisdom of God. We always are responsible to do the works of God. We are always aiming to the aims and visions of God. That is not a robot. That is a godly attitude. That is a godly character. That is a godly laboring with the Lord. And don't think that when you are just like a person who goes and listens to God and submissive to God, that you are robbed of your own personal desires and ambitions or your directions. It is setting your life at best and giving you that direction that will always glorify and honor our God. And that is what we call life. Because when we are outside Christ and we are not taking the yoke of Christ, we are in bondage of sin. Whatever we do is according to the dictates of Satan. Actually, that is a robotic life. You are a robot controlled by the hands of Satan. But when you are set free, because now you are taking that yoke with Christ, you are the most wise person. Because you are deciding according to the wisdom of the God Almighty, who is all wise. And you are doing the work of the God Almighty, who is all powerful. And you can produce results that will always be good and beneficial to man. And I pray as we understand, what it means that Jesus' yoke is easy. It is indeed easy. In spite of the difficulties in life, in spite of the trials and hardships in life, in spite of the fears and the anxieties in life, it is easy because you are in yoke with God Almighty, with God who is all-loving, with God who is all-gracious. And actually, He is doing it all for us. That's why it is easy and it is light. He is carrying all the burdens that we have. He is supporting and providing for all our needs. He is assuring us a life eternal in heaven. He is guiding and giving us wisdom in our hearts and in our minds. It is easy. It is light. And if you are a person who truly is wise, you must acknowledge this. Take the yoke of Christ and learn of Him. This is the wisest decision. If you neglect His offer, that is the most foolish decision that you can make. That's what the Bible is saying. If we say there is no God, you're a fool. I pray we all will be wise. And that is choosing to take the yoke of Christ, go with Him, walk with Him, labor with Him, and do whatever He wants us to do, for it will surely provide us the best result in life. And surely it will glorify our Father who is in heaven. Let us pray.